You open your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles, way back in the Old Testament. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And we'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And I'll ask someone else to have a Bible reading. These are some hard names. I should get Joey to come up and do the names for me. I'm teasing. It's all right. Joey and I were talking about who was going to do the message, and I said, if you've got a message, you can preach. And I was going to put him on the spot and say, come up and preach tonight. And he said, no. Maybe you could do the Bible reading for me. We won't do the Bible reading yet. It's very easy to reach a place in our lives where we become satisfied, where we become happy with where we're at, and life just rolls on. People often structure their lives so that they can predict what's going to happen tomorrow. And they can predict what's going to happen Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. We never did this at home, but perhaps we should. Have like a meal plan so that you know Monday night is spaghetti bolognese night. Does anyone do that? No. Some people like the comfort of it, the routine. I can see sense in that. People find comfort and security in that. People like things to be predictable, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you've got a meal roster, all power to you. I think it'd be great. But it's when you get comfortable in our spiritual life that there becomes a problem. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable and satisfied at school, comfortable and satisfied at work, comfortable and satisfied at home. When you just get satisfied with where you're at with the Lord, you know you've missed the point. There's problems. You get complacent. It doesn't matter so much about growing in Christ and your spiritual progress, and you just kind of get in that comfort zone we were looking at this morning. We really should never reach a place as a child of God where we're happy with where we're at with the Lord. You know, we don't get there where we just think, well, Lord, I've made it, and I'm content and mature and satisfied with where I am, and I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I don't need to pray anymore. I've made it to a place where I'm happy. See, we shouldn't get there. Because when we're satisfied with our walk and we're satisfied with our witness to the lost, we've missed the point. See, if any Christian had just cause for reaching a place where he could be satisfied, it was the Apostle Paul. He could be happy, if anyone could be happy, he would be the one who would be happy with his spiritual progress. But he remained unsatisfied, and he was always reaching for more. He was always pressing. Philippians 3, I'll read it to you. Paul's testimony was this. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul pressed on. He wasn't satisfied. And tonight, as we look way back in 1 Chronicles, we'll see a man who wasn't satisfied, who pressed on. He wanted more. He wasn't content with where he was at. He wasn't content everyone else was at. He was a man who desired more from God, and he asked God for more. We're going to look at the man Jabez and see a message tonight entitled Jabez Stands Out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this time once again that we can think about you and what you expect and desire of us. Lord, we're encouraged as we think about Jabez, and we will be. So we see a man who asked you to bless him, Lord, and you did. And we too desire your blessing to be upon us. Help us in our spiritual walk that we wouldn't just be satisfied, that we would continue to grow. Help us with the day-to-day, the physical, the temporal things. Provide for us, we ask. And help keep us from sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I won't do it. Who has one of the Bibles that has all the pronunciation for the names? If you put your hand up, Steve, you might get asked to do the Bible reading. This is tricky. There are a lot of names here, but I'll just give you a flavour of what this is about. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10. I'd just like to look at the pattern and the context with which we find these verses. Verse 1 says, the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shabal, and Reiah, the son of Shobal, bet Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai and Lahad, and these are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishmer, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hazeloponi. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha, and these are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And it goes on, all right? You can read through just there, save me trying to pronounce them, all the way down to verse 9. We'll read verse 8. And Koz begat Anub and Zobahah, and the families of Ahahel, the son of Haram. And then here, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And then if you read on, it just goes back into the genealogy. So it's a bit like you're in a dry desert, a very parched land. And here in the middle of the dry desert, there's this oasis of a man by the name of Jabez. He's a man who wasn't content with where he was at. He wanted more. He wasn't content spiritually. He wasn't content physically. He desired that the God of Israel, the God of heaven, would bless him. Firstly, let us think about Jabez and his personality, because there's a number of things we can see about this man just in these short two verses. They reveal a lot about his character. They reveal about his desire to stand out, to rise above the ordinary. Firstly, let's see his place in life. We can see that he's here amongst all these begats. But he wasn't content to be like everyone else. He perhaps was a spiritual giant amongst pygmies, or maybe he was just a regular-sized person amongst really wicked people. I don't know. I don't know whether the people around about him were honourable and he was really honourable, or whether everyone else around about him had really turned from the Lord and he was the only one standing. But he's commended for this fact, because the reality is he was more honourable than his brethren. He was more honourable. He rose to the top. His name isn't just, and Jabez begat such and such, the sons of such and such, and it goes on. His name is mentioned, but also these wonderful things about him. See, there's very few people who really rise above the crowd. There are very few people who leave a mark on the world. And I'm talking about Christian people, by the way. There's few. Tozer was one we mentioned before. I would say he's one who's left a mark on the world. D.L. Moody is one who's left a mark on the world. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is one who's left a mark on the world. What is it about these men that makes them stand up? See, most people are content to live like everyone around them. But these men stood up. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if your life boiled down to just a few lines on a tombstone, and that 10 years after you're gone, people would have not a lot of recollection about you, and they certainly wouldn't remember the influence you had on the world for the kingdom of God. See, what we need in this age are people like Spurgeon, are people like Moody, people like, you name it, any of the great men of the faith, men and women of the faith. We need them to rise up. We need people to call out to God and ask God to bless them. See, this little oasis in the desert reminds me of what we find in Genesis 5. You don't need to turn there. You know, in that set of names and genealogies, then you've got this wonderful, refreshing truth. Enoch walked with God. He stood out. He was a man who was known for his love and his fellowship with God. If a scribe was writing out your history, your family history, would your name simply be name, children, grandchildren, or would there be any reason for the scribe to make mention of your love for God? If it was if a man led by the Holy Spirit was recording, just like the Scriptures were written, all right? If your name was here in the pages of Scripture, would you just be one of the names that's dry and dusty and barren? Or would you be a name like an oasis that refreshes the souls of those that read? Most people are just satisfied. Christians are that way. But we ought not be satisfied to be like everyone else. It's not good enough to be like the person next to you. It's good enough to be like Christ, and we never get there. We need to keep pushing. We've been gifted. God has gifted us in wonderful ways, and He expects us to use our gifts. He gives us the means by whereby we may stand up and minister and glorify His name. You might say, well, not me. It's not really my place. I'm not going to be a Moody. I'm not going to be a Spurgeon. I'm not going to be whoever. Not with my family, or not with my past, or not with my present, or the circumstances of my life. God is bigger than your circumstances. He really is. God desires to use you regardless of where you've come from. It doesn't matter your family history. It doesn't matter whether your parents were alcoholics, drug addicts, or whatever. It doesn't matter where you've been in the past. I'm proof of that. God wants to use us all. It doesn't matter. A lot of people use circumstances of life to justify their desire to sit in a comfortable seat. Jabez wasn't comfortable. He wanted more. Leads us on to his problem. His mother named him Jabez. It wasn't very kind. His name meant sorrow, or son of my sorrow, pain, affliction, or he will cause pain. Now, when you're naming your child and you look up the baby book and you turn to Jabez, you kind of just keep flicking because you don't really want to call your son he will cause pain. You know why? Because he might grow up and just say, I'll show you what pain is. I'll cause you pain. I'll live up to my name. See, a lot of people figure they're doomed from the start, or that they've been given this lot in life and this is just what they have to deal with, and this is what it's going to be. A lot of teenagers get called pretty awful things. I deal with them in the youth group. They get called awful things by their parents. And it shouldn't surprise their parents when the children do exactly what they call them. You know, useless, waste of space. I remember getting called that when I was a teenager. Waste of space. If God gave you an extra brain, it'd be lonely. That was my mum's favourite little line. It's nasty, isn't it? I love her to bits. I'm glad I didn't listen to her. Be careful what you call your kids. Be careful what you call other people, because a lot of people live up to the names we give them. But if you've been called all kinds of horrible names, don't use that as an excuse just to be what you've been called. Jabez was called sorrow and pain, but he wasn't going to be sorrow and pain. No, he was going to be one who caused blessing to be upon his family and his people. It doesn't have to be that way. God gives power through the Holy Spirit to break those chains of the past. Everyone might think you'll fail. Everyone might think that you've got no hope of standing for the Lord, no hope of being used by Him, but we know otherwise. God is powerful. We have the ability. God gives us the wonderful grace bestowed upon us to rise above ourselves. Paul said it was by the grace of God he was what he was. His grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. God's bestowing grace upon us. He desires us to be more than we are. See, He's able to take us the way we are and make us what He wants us to be. Reminds me of Jacob. We talked about this at youth group last week, maybe. Jacob wasn't a great guy at all. He was a lying deceiver. He manipulated, and he was a little mummy's boy, actually. And he was just, like, you wouldn't tick all the boxes and say, yes, he's a born leader of Israel or a born leader of the people. But God took him from Jacob, supplanter, trickster, and made him Israel, which means prince with God. See, God's able to take us where we're at with all of our problems and make us what He wants us to be. Jabez wasn't going to live up to his name. Lastly, when we think about his personality, we see his performance. We've seen his place, his problem, but now his performance. He was more honourable than his brethren. See, his name isn't remembered, by the way, for being a great leader or a great general or a great preacher or a great prophet. His name is remembered and recorded because he was a great man of prayer. Because he called out to God and God answered his prayer. He's remembered because he was a man of God in a day where people were godless. There are a lot of traditions among the Jews about him. If you go back to 1 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 2, verse 55, maybe the end of chapter 2. The name Jabez, is mentioned. It says they're the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. His name's not mentioned as the name of a person, but the name of a place. And the Jews have this tradition or an understanding that he was a great scribe or a great teacher that brought disciples under himself, and he taught them the truth of the word. Now, we don't know whether that's true or not, but we understand that Jabez is a place named after a man where the scribes were. So there may be some truth to that. But Jabez was a man, what we do know from the verses we look at, he was a man who wasn't prepared to be forced into anyone's mold. He was going to live for the Lord no matter what. He was going to do what God said no matter what. That ought to be the heart of every genuine child of God, to do what God says no matter what. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I say to you tonight, God's looking for people to stand up. God's looking for people who want more, who aren't content with the status quo. He's looking for people who aren't content to be like everyone else, people who, it doesn't matter if people stand up and present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. It doesn't matter if the person next to you does it. God's looking for people that are prepared to do it if no one else does. That if there was an invitation here tonight, and there won't be, but if there was, that even if only one person stood up, that person would be prepared to do it and wouldn't be waiting for the person next to them to do just the same. Now, God's looking for people that are prepared to stand alone. Jabez and his personality. He was a man more honourable than his brethren. He was a man of prayer. That's what we'll look at now. Jabez and his prayer, verse 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, O that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. It's a good prayer. I'll just look at it from two aspects. It's a twofold prayer. Firstly, he prays for the Lord's blessing to be upon him, and he prays for his boundaries or his coasts to be increased. He wasn't satisfied. He wanted God to work in his life, to make things different. We want the same thing today, don't we? We want God to bless us in a spiritual way. We want God to bless us even in a physical way. There's nothing wrong with asking God to bless us. There's nothing wrong with that. Getting upset when he doesn't bless us the way we expect he will, that's a problem. Right? But there's nothing wrong with asking God to bless. God desires to bless his people. He really does. Back in the Garden of Eden, when before Adam and Eve sinned, God was just desiring to bless Adam and Eve over and over and over and over. And when they sinned, they were a curse. But God's nature isn't one desiring to curse people. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to bless. Whoever told you that praying for yourself was wrong lied. It's not wrong to pray for yourself. It's not wrong to pray that God would work in and through you. And we're not necessarily talking about money, possessions, power. We're just talking about seeking God and asking that he would give you his best. Now, that may not be what you expect. His best sometimes isn't what we expect. But we need to seek that which glorifies the Lord. So this man, Jabez, he asked for God's best. He said, God, please bless me indeed. Can you see the sincerity in that, by the way? He's not just after kind of temporal material blessings. He's really beseeching the God of Israel, asking him to bless him. He asked for God's blessing in a temporal sense as well. He said, enlarge my coast. He wanted his borders to be expanded. He wanted more influence. He wanted to be able to reach out more. Now, we could see that to mean he wanted to reach out and influence more for the Lord. I think perhaps this is talking about a particular time in the life of the children of Israel where they'd just gone into Canaan and where they'd been driving out the inhabitants of the land. And some people had just got a little bit comfortable with the bit of land that had been cleared, and they just left little pockets and problems without really doing what God said. They didn't quite clear out the land the way they should. People didn't have an energy or a desire to do it. They didn't really want to do what God said to do. And here in that kind of environment, I see Jabez standing up and saying, God, enlarge my coast. Stretch out my borders. Help me to have more of an influence. Help me to do what you said and drive out the inhabitants of the land. He was asking for God's blessing, but I believe it was to do with obedience to God. You see, Joshua would really, he had to reprove the people for not doing what they should have done, for being slack. He said, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? And I get the impression Jabez here, he wants what God said. He wanted to obey. And he sought God's blessing upon his effort. Don't be satisfied with what you've got. Get out of your comfort zone so that you may reach more for the Lord. So Jabez prayed for prosperity in a sense. He prayed for blessing and furtherance of his coast. But he also prayed for power. He wasn't content to just live life without God working through him. He wanted God to reach into his life and give him power to live for him. You know, Christian, you don't have to settle for a weak, powerless life. Why is it that people seem to have God in every area of their life? Why do you see Christians that just look like they glow with the power of God all the time? It's because they're asking God for it. That they're living in obedience to Him and doing what He says, praying that God would bless. You know, people who live that way are those that aren't content just to sit back. They're not content just to sit back and let things roll on, but they're willing to pay the price before the Lord, and as a consequence, He blesses them with power. See, Paul was that kind of man. He was a man who was weak in the flesh. He looked, well, contemptible. He was, in his bodily presence, weak, and in his speech, contemptible. See, Paul, if you looked at him, you would think he was nothing, but then you think about him, he was a powerhouse for God. Him, a man who preached boldly, who performed miracles and brought glory to God. If you want God to fill you and use you for His glory, give Him the chance, God will. This isn't a question about, does God want to use you? The question is, are you prepared to be used by God? Are you prepared to call out and ask Him to bless and ask Him to empower you? G.L. Moody, we mentioned, he was a man who was uneducated, couldn't speak very well. What do we say? He had a high-pitched nasal voice. Very hard to listen to. And a reporter went along to the campaign that had stretched across two continents. The gospel was influencing countless thousands for Christ. And a reporter went along to bring back and to, you know, write about it in some London newspaper. And he came and he said, I can see nothing in D.L. Moody that explains this response. And D.L. Moody says, yeah, that's the secret. It's not me, it's God. Right? It was the power of God at work in him. Men of power, men that God uses in a mighty way, are very often weak, very often contemptible. But when God uses them, they become powerhouses for God. Do you want to be used by God? That's a serious, thought-provoking question. That's not something that a preacher just says. Right, that's a question we need to search our souls with. Do you want to be used by God? Is there anything more important? Making millions? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What does it profit you if you gain all these millions but you don't lead a soul to Christ? Do you want to be used by God? Then ask Him for power. Jabez prayed also for protection. He knew that sin would destroy his life. He understood Proverbs 13:5. I don't know whether it was written at the time. I doubt it. It wasn't. Proverbs 13:5 says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Jabez knew the danger of sin. So what did he do? Verse 10, Lord, keep me from evil. He prayed that way. David said it best, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. We need to ask God to keep us from evil. Every child of God ought to pray this way. Lot's is made of Jabez prayer. There's a whole cult movement behind these two verses that I'm going to mention in a minute. But ignoring that for a moment, this is a model prayer that we ought to copy. Not to expect the abundant life and blessings beyond measure, but is it wrong of us to ask for God to bless us? No. Is it wrong of us to ask Him to increase our ability to witness for Him? No. Is it wrong of us to ask that He would keep us from evil? No. These are prayers that we ought to make as the children of God. We need God's power in our lives and in this church. We need God's help day by day to keep us from evil. This isn't a selfish prayer of this man, Jabez. This is a selfless prayer that's acknowledging God. Because if he was selfish, what would God have said at the end of verse 10? Jabez would go through this prayer and then God would say, no. No, because you're only interested in yourself. But we know the response from God was that he granted him that which he requested. Let's look at Jabez and God's provision as we come to a conclusion. See, God heard Jabez's prayer and he answered it. He said, yes. Yes, I'll bless you. Yes, I'll increase your coast. Yes, I'll keep you from sin. See, why? Because God honours the prayer that honours Him. We need to heed a warning, because there are those that take these verses and they turn them into a ritual. They really do. It's written about 2001. It's probably died by now, but you never know. These cults kind of, or these movements have ways of cropping up once more. But the Prayer of Jabez was a book that was written by a man by the name of Bruce Wilkinson. The Prayer of Jabez, Breaking Through to the Blessed Life. And he said, if a person repeats this prayer exactly the way it's written every day for 2 weeks, it'll change their life. It won't. Right? He's wrong. See, this is how prayer is hyped up on the back of the book's cover. It says, do you want to be extravagantly blessed by God? Are you ready to reach for the extraordinary, to ask God for the abundant blessings He longs to give you? Join Bruce Wilkinson to discover how the remarkable prayer of this little-known Bible hero can release God's power, favour and protection. You'll see how one daily prayer can help you to leave the past behind and break through to the life you were meant to live. He says, I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. It's brief, only one sentence with four parts, all tucked away in the Bible, but I believe it contains the key to a life of extraordinary favour with God. This petition has radically changed what I expect from God and what I am experiencing every day by His power. And he goes on and on and on. There's a movement of people that are living what they think is an abundant life because they've prayed this prayer every day. They're wrong. It's not a magical prayer. It's not a ritual, but it's a good example. Right? It's not wrong to pray along the lines that Jabez prayed. But why did God answer his prayer? Well, I've got two reasons that I could think of. First, he prayed in earnest. He sincerely desired God to answer. He was intense. He was zealous and determined. He called on the God of Israel. He didn't call on any other gods. He called on the right God. That's a good start. But he called in earnest. We know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So the first thing I believe that we see in this man was an earnest desire for God to answer. He was zealous. Secondly, he was humble. See, 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, the second characteristic is humility. I don't believe Jabez was asking these requests of God so that he would be magnified. But no, he was asking these requests so that God would be magnified. The earnest, fervent prayer that's prayed in true humility and true surrender is honourable before God. You and I have that wonderful way made open. We can come before our God and pray, and He'll answer us. He'll hear and He will answer. He said, ask, seek, knock. Ask and it shall be given you. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Made many promises to us. He will hear our prayers and He'll answer according to what He knows is best. But I suppose the question for us tonight is, are you content with where you're at? Or are you desiring more? Not for yourself, but for God. Not so that you would have more money and more influence, so that God would get more glory. Are you satisfied with what you're doing for the Lord, or would you desire more power? Well, we see here an example of a man who desired more, who asked for more, and he got more. That's not a promise like Bruce Wilkinson thinks it is, that if you ask this prayer, God's going to answer every time. But if you humbly and earnestly come before God asking that He would be magnified through you, that He would bless you, give you power and keep you from evil, that's a prayer I believe He will answer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the encouragement and the challenge we see in this man. His desire to not be content with those around about him or to be like everyone else, but he was a man more honourable than the rest. A man who desired You to magnify Yourself in his life, that You would bless him and his lands, that You would give him power. And as we go through this week, we ask, Father, that You would help us to keep that in mind. Lord, our desire is that You would be magnified through us, that, Lord, we would bring You glory. Lord, to that end, we ask that You would empower us and that You would keep us from sin and evil, that we may reflect Your wonderful character to this lost and dying world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.